Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Ephesians 1, verse 17. I ask that the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ may impart to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation of who he is and what he has done for you, so that you will come to know him better. I also pray for your heart to be filled with light, that you will see for yourself and know in your experience the hope to which he has called you, the purpose he wants to see fulfilled in your life. What is this hope? That his saints or those who belong to him will enjoy the riches of a glorious inheritance, and that they may also know his power working in them because they believe in him, a power so great that it cannot be compared with any other power. You have an example of this power, of exactly how mighty it is in the resurrection of Christ. Yes, the power that raised him from the dead and caused him to be seated in heaven at his Father's right hand is that same power which is within you now. As a result of this power, Jesus is now reigning far above every other ruler, authority, power, and dominion. He is greater than anyone else could ever be, not only in this present age, but also in the future age that he will inaugurate. Hallelujah. Earlier this morning when I was praying, I usually have music on in the background when I'm just listening to the Lord and reading through the Word. But usually it's not choral music because that can be distracting, you know, the words. But in the middle of the orchestral pieces that were on the CD that was playing, there was a very beautiful thing that was written by Schubert that actually we are gospel choir sang when they did a concert at camp, I don't know, about 5 or 6 years ago. It was those of you who were there, it's a very, very wonderful concert. It was beautiful. It was a real anointing. We had a great move of God afterwards. And God was talking to me about the very thing that is mentioned in this beautiful psalm. It begins, holy, 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 merciful and mighty. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. And it struck me because God happened to be speaking to me at the time about the relationship between his mercy and his might. His mercy and his power. And we were looking last week at the seven principles of the kingdom. The first was mercy. And the sixth was power. And there is a direct relationship between these two. And we're going to look at that this morning because God really wants to talk to us about the outworking of these seven principles in our lives. There's going to be all kinds of activities that you're going to be involved in next week. So there'll be plenty of opportunity for mercy, and there'll be plenty of opportunities for power. And we want to see the two operating together. What does it mean to live in the supernatural? Well, a good pastor, J.D.ism, would be to live in the supernatural is to be naturally super. And that's the kind of mentality God wants us to have. That we are naturally super. Because we have someone who is super natural living in us. You're the natural, he's the super bit. You see, you're an extraordinary person. You're ordinary, but having Christ in you makes you extraordinary. So you're above the ordinary. You're above the natural. Super means above. So we want to live in the supernatural, extraordinary power of God. And Paul is just praying for these Ephesians who are very well taught. They were probably the best taught of all the biblical churches because Paul spent a couple of years there helping to establish the church, and wherever Paul was, you can be sure that everybody was well taught. He preached sermons that were much longer than mine. He even went on all night. I've never had anybody fall out the window halfway through the night because I couldn't stop preaching. But Paul had that experience. But then he needed the power of God and the mercy of God to see the guy restored. But that's another story. We want to see the outworking of the kingdom in our lives. We want to see that because that's what God wants to see. He has put the kingdom within you to see the kingdom actually expressed in your life. Now, a few weeks ago, earlier in the term, I was speaking, God gave us a keynote on having the right mentality, a faith mentality, a kingdom mentality. Now, if we have a kingdom mentality, then it's a mentality that embraces all those seven principles we talked about last week. We have a merciful mentality, a loving mentality, and so on. But it also means we have a powerful mentality. We expect to see the power of God. You're getting too enthusiastic again. We expect to see the power of God every day in our lives. Now, let's just step back a little bit so that we can, if we set that as our objective this morning, how we can see the power of God realized in our lives every day. Let's work our way towards that point. You see, a positive, faith-filled mindset begins with the premise that today I will live in the favor of God. And his favor will be upon everything I do. I had an amazing day yesterday. As I was praying early this morning, God just sort of said to me, did you see how my favor was upon everything you did yesterday? And I just didn't think about it at the time. I was just going from one thing to another to another. And it was true. It was just the favor of God. It wasn't anything I was doing, just the favor of God. And he was saying, now that's the mentality that I want all my children to have, that they expect the favor of God. Now, when the Lord was talking to us about the father with the two sons, the parable there, the younger son came to the father and expected the father to give him the inheritance. He expected the favor of his father. The older son had no such expectation. He just judged his younger brother for what he had done. He had no expectation even of a goat. So he couldn't lay hold of his inheritance. He didn't expect favor from his father. But because you have a positive, faith-filled mindset, don't you? You expect favor from God every day. Your expectation is it's going to be a good day. It's going to be a great day. And you see, next week, when you go to do different things from what you normally do here, week by week, that's the mentality that God wants you to have. I'm going to have his favor today. It's going to be a good day, because even if I have to face challenging things, and I had to do one or two challenging things yesterday, I wasn't, you know, that I needed really to see a breakthrough. And the favor of God just did that, and it was great, it was wonderful. But that's the mentality God wants us to have, you see. It's going to be a good day. I'm living in the favor of God. I have all his inheritance available to me, and he is going to do his stuff. So therefore, it's going to be a fruitful day. I'm going to be living in the supernatural, not just the natural, in the super, above the natural, in the grace, in the favor, in the power of God. I'm going to see his power at work because I'm depending upon him and not myself. So if I depend upon him, I will see his power, not just in signs and wonders. I mean, that is part of it, obviously. But not just in that, but to see the power of God giving us favor, to see the power of God opening the way, to see the power of God giving us opportunities to share the gospel, to actually love people in a way they need to be loved. So, because often that is the entrance point, isn't it, to being able to bring them the gospel, so that we're ministering out of relationship, not just out of theory. So Paul is praying that this power that is greater than any other power, this power that cannot be compared with any other power, that is actually within those Ephesians and is within each one of us, will be expressed in our lives. That power that raised Jesus from the dead will actually be operating in our lives day by day, that we have the expectation that the power of God, the favor of God, the grace of God is going to be upon each one of us all the time. Now, you know, this is a mindset. And when you're flowing with God, that's the kind of mindset you have. It's the kind of mindset the devil wants to disrupt. Yes. He wants to cut across our positive expectations. He wants to distract us and get us to focus on the problems rather than the answers. And we're not going to fall for his deception, are we? We're going to keep our focus on the Lord, keep our focus on the Word, keep our focus on the grace, the favor, the inheritance that we have with him. It's all to do with the heart mind. The heart mind. Because the two are really indivisible. What is in your heart will be in your mind, and what is in your mind will be in your heart. So you can't function at two different levels at the same time. So we set, because this is a command of Scripture, we set our minds and our hearts on things above. On things where?
Above.
And what does super mean?
Above.
Are you there? You see, we set our hearts and minds on the supernatural. Let's not look at the natural and just try to work out in the natural what is to happen or what needs to happen. Let's work out or think in the supernatural. Because just to think in the natural leaves God out. You put God into the equation and the natural then becomes supernatural. Am I talking to believers this morning? So this is the expectation that we have. You see, when we pray for one another, we should expect the supernatural. we're not just praying in a nice, natural, chummy, friendly way. Bless my brother, bless my sister. I mean, we're actually expecting something supernatural to take place. And that means event. Event is when things happen. The event isn't the prayer. The event is what happens in response to the prayer, because of the prayer. So God wants us to have that expectant mindset when we pray. Now, we can pray. We had a time when Pastor Jonathan Dyke was leading last week, when everybody was praying for one another and some good things were happening. But you see, the point is, what's going to happen out there? It's one thing for us to pray for one another and expect things to happen in here, but what's going to happen out there when there's just you, or perhaps just a couple of you? Is there the same expectation? And you're not talking to or praying with another believer even, but it's just your faith and your dependence upon your God that is going to lead to the release of the supernatural. Are you there? You see, what God wants you to have is the kind of expectation. You know, let me just get to praying for this person or with this person as quick as possible, because the supernatural power of God is going to be released, and that's going to make all the difference. Because that is worth so much more than hours and hours and hours of talk. I mean, when a non-believer's life is impacted by the power of God, that goes beyond all the talk. All the argument, all the, well, I don't understand this and I don't know that and why this and why that. I mean, suddenly their lives are impacted by God's power and there isn't any argument. That is the reality of God. And it might be the first time they've been faced with the reality of God, but they can't escape the fact that that's what's happened. So it just needs that little bit of boldness of faith to say, right, Lord, wherever I go, whatever I do, your supernatural power that is within me, because the Spirit is within me, and you said that your power would come upon me when I receive the Spirit, because the kingdom is within me, and the kingdom is not a matter of talk but of power. I thank you, Lord, that your power is going to go forth. You see, in the same, I mean, 2 or 3 weeks, you'll be going out in placement. 3 weeks, is it? And you want to see the power of God. You want to take the power of God wherever you go. You see, once the power of God starts to be released, it can have a domino effect. And other people can see the power of God. I mean, you could kickstart something in those churches where you go. Not because you blabber and say, I've come with the mighty power of God, but because you just start quietly doing things that releases the power of God. And people say, hey, what's going on here? So that makes you a witness of the power. You're not a witness of the power by talking about the power. You're a witness of the power by demonstrating the power. Amen? So it's exciting, isn't it? What's going to lie ahead during these coming weeks? Now, holy, holy, holy is the Lord, merciful and mighty. Now, think for a moment. I know it's difficult this time of day for some of you, but think. How did you first meet with God? He was mercy, Then what happened? You got born again. That's power. You became a new creation. That's power. The person that you were died and a new person came into being. That's power. All because you touched the mercy of God. So people came to Jesus like Bartimaeus. Son of David, have mercy upon me. What happened? He was healed of his blindness. The woman, the Syrophoenician woman with the possessed daughter. Have mercy on my child. Have mercy, have mercy, have mercy. And what happened? At that very time, her daughter was delivered. The power of God. See, the mercy and the power are linked. Jesus knew that. That's why he says, be merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful. But your Father in heaven is the Almighty One. You see, to be like him is to be merciful. To be like him is to be loving. To be like him is to be generous. To be like him is to be full of faith, of expectation. To be like him is to be full of authority. To be like him is to be full of power. To be like him is to be living in unity. See, the seven principles that give birth, what? To righteousness, to a life of righteousness, which is to be like him. A life of holiness, which is to be like him. A life of peace, because he is the Lord of peace, is to be like him. Is to be filled with joy, because it was the anointing of joy that was upon him that raised him. He is above the greatest. He's the greatest person of joy. The Lord of joy. But all these things, the righteousness, the holiness, the peace, the joy, they all come out of these seven principles. And what lies beneath the mercy is humility. You see, we saw how the enemy tries to counteract these things. So the enemy says, don't be merciful, judge, because, you see, mercy is an expression of humility. Judgment is an expression of pride. So he always wants to counteract these things. But you see, as you stay humble, as you stay dependent upon the mercy of God, then your attitude is, Lord, be merciful in this situation. Lord, let me see your grace and your favor in this situation. Lord, I believe your power is going to be released in this situation. Are you understanding? That you yourself may feel weak and inadequate and so on. Just like Paul, you know, my power is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. You see, there's the favor. You have my favor. My favor is always sufficient for you. And although you may feel weak, that favor releases the power. Hallelujah. So you get an expectation. I'm going to see the power of God. But it needs to be an expectation that the power is not confined to signs and wonders. Yes, praise God for all the signs and wonders. But we need to see the power of God in everything. Not just reserve it for when we're praying for somebody to be healed or some such situation. No, we just want to see the power of God going before us, like the power of God opening up the way for us, for what he wants us to be doing, for the lives he wants us to impact, even with his love. So, we're an expectant people. Hallelujah. Now, of course, this is the one thing that nobody else can help you with. I can remember years ago when God first got me to teach on the renewing of the mind and what that meant. The first thing that really impacted, or God impacted me with, is your mind is your own responsibility. Nobody but you can control what goes on in your mind. Now, the Lord wants to influence your mind with the truth. The devil wants to influence your mind with everything that's negative and that is counter to the truth. So sometimes your mind seems like a battleground. Some years ago, there was a book written by a believer called The Battle for the Mind. It's quite a good book, actually. But it was just about this very subject of how the Holy Spirit wants to control our thinking and the enemy wants to influence our thinking. But nobody else, not your pastor, not your mentor, not your best friend, not your husband or your wife, nobody can have any influence over your mind except you. So, you have to make the decision as to where you're going to set your mind. This is why Paul says, set your mind on things above. And only you have the responsibility to keep the mind set on the positive and to take the shield of faith against all the negatives. Now, of course, it's easy to set our mind on the circumstances. Hello? It's easy to get into a downward spiral, because if we think negatively, we're going to begin to feel negatively. And then when we feel negatively, we think even more negatively. And then we feel even more negative, and we think even more negative, and we feel. And before you know where you are, you're in depression. If that process is allowed to continue. So we have to take the shield of faith against all the fiery darts of the evil one. Now, what that means is that you have to counteract every negative fiery dart that the enemy throws at you with the shield of faith. You've got to do it. You actually have to do it. I was telling you the second year something about this when we were looking at Colossians yesterday and saying that I'd already had to do it three times that day to reject thoughts that came at me, because they didn't come from the Holy Spirit, and they certainly didn't come from me either. But these are the fiery darts that the evil one fires at you. There are these negative things. Look, I'll just repeat something that I said to the second year session. We were talking about, in what it says in Colossians, about the way that on the cross, Jesus disarmed the enemy. Yeah. Now, he didn't kill the enemy, he didn't destroy the enemy, he disarmed the enemy. Now, that means he's got no arms, he's got no weapons, right? All he's got is a mouth. But it's a big mouth. His mouth is even bigger than yours. That's saying something. Now, I mean, you know some people with big mouths, don't you? But Satan's got the biggest mouth of all. Mm-hmm. But that's all he can do. So how does Jesus describe him? He's the accuser of the brethren. But how do you accuse? With your mouth. You see, he's the deceiver of the brethren. How do you deceive? By saying something that isn't true. It's the use of the mouth. So all Satan is now is a big mouth. Are you there? I mean, that's his way of attacking Christians. He's just got a big mouth. The thing is, you've got to make sure you don't listen to it. To listen to what he's saying. You take the shield of faith against all those fiery, negative, destructive, undermining things that he fires at you. You're no good. You can't do it. You're useless. You'll fail. Now, he can say that directly. These thoughts. I mean, you don't want to have thoughts like that. The Lord doesn't want you to have thoughts like that. So where have they come from? And you see, if you allow them in, you've allowed the enemy to get a foothold in your thinking. So you take the shield of faith. No, I reject that. You actually have to do that. I mean, you actually have to say that. You really have to say it. And I walk around, I mean, if I'm on my own, whether I'm at home, whether I'm around here, and I say, if there's nobody else around, I say, I reject that. If there's other people around, I don't say it aloud, but I say it within. I don't say it aloud because they might think I'm rejecting them. But not that people are a that, but, you know, you can get misunderstood, can't you? You know, somebody's having a conversation with you and you say, I reject that. Because you're not actually rejecting what they're saying, but the enemy, even in the course of a conversation, can try to cut across. Anybody live in the real world, or am I the only one? Okay. So, you know, even when you're having a conversation, sometimes you need to say, I reject that. You know, somebody might start giving you an earful. No, you, blah, 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 blah. And you've got to be gracious towards them. But inside you're saying, I reject that. I reject that. I reject that. That is not the truth about me. I reject that. You actually have to do it. And you've got to be vigilant enough to be able to do it at any moment of any day or night. I mean, you can lie in bed wondering about this, that, and the other, and the enemy's having a field day because you're only half alert. Say, no, 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 I reject that. Yeah. Whatever the kind of thoughts that they are, if you know they're not of God, then they're of the enemy, because actually they're not even really from you. See, this is part of the way the devil deceives. What the devil does is he accuses. See, he brings some negative thought like that. And then he comes with the accusation, if your heart was right, you wouldn't think like that. What's he trying to get you to see? He's sowing the weeds. And then he's trying to get you to believe that those weeds are the result of your own heart. Now, they're not the result of your heart because God gave you a new heart. They could be the result of your foolishness in allowing him to plant the weed. Are you breathing? Listen, Jesus told a parable about the wheat and tares. Who sowed the tares? An enemy has done this. Now, you have a mind which the Holy Spirit is sowing wheat. He's sowing good seed all the time, the seed of the truth. He will remind you of the truth. He will take the truth and declare it to you. The truth, the truth, the truth. The enemy wants to sow weeds. He wants to sow tares among the wheat. And then he wants you to believe that the tares are your fault, not his. Now, they're your fault in the sense that if you have been a big enough Charlie to receive these things. But you see, the deception is to think, is to try to get you to believe that's you. No, no, it's not me. That's not who I am. That's not the new creation that I am. That's not Christ in me. That's nonsense. That's rubbish. That's enemy talk. That's enemy thinking. Out with the weeds. Amen. Now you see, it's even those subtle little accusations you can't. Yeah, I can do all things through Christ. Where's this you can't come from? It won't happen. Where's that come from? I mean, he will do whatever you ask in prayer if you believe. What do you mean it won't happen? Hello? You see, when we pray even, we need to clear out the garbage, the rubbish. This is why Jesus says, whenever you pray, you must forgive your brother. Why? Because what God wants to see as a result of the prayer is his power, his might go forth, right? In whatever context, not just to heal, but to do whatever. The supernatural power of God to intervene in the circumstances about which we're praying. Are you there? Right. So, there mustn't be anything negative to get that. See, if you don't forgive your brother, right, there can't be the release of power. Jesus knew that. Why? Because you're allowing the negative to actually counteract the positive. See, he says, if you don't forgive your brother, he won't forgive you. If he won't forgive you, he's not going to listen to what you say. Why? Because you're out of relationship. You're out of kilter with him, aren't you? Mm-hmm. So, praise God, you can easily come back in. You've only got to confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you your sins. And boom, you're at one with him again and you're away. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm having my own meeting here this morning, but I'm enjoying it. You see, so it's a question of keeping positive. So when you pray, just make sure there's no negatives. That's really what Jesus is saying. Don't be negative towards anyone. Take that shield of faith against the enemy. Don't listen to any of his lies. Have that positive kingdom mindset. The power of God is going to go forth. I'm going to live in the favor of God. I'm going to see the goodness of God. I'm going to see the evidence that God is with me and I am with him. That everything he has is mine. All that the Father has, all that the Son has, all the Holy Spirit has is mine. Because that's what Jesus says. Hallelujah. So where's all this negative stuff come from? You see, you listen to some people and you're tempted to think he or she is a negative person because they're always speaking the negative. They focus on the problem, not the answer. But actually, they're not negative people. They just haven't discovered that they're positive. Yeah. Can you understand? They haven't discovered the true nature of their new creaturehood. So they sound negative, but actually, beneath the negative is Christ. And there's no negatives in Christ. That is a believer filled with the Holy Spirit, and there's no negatives in the Holy Spirit. So the enemy wants us to believe the negatives about ourselves, about others, about the circumstances, about anything and everything. But we're not going to fall for his tactics. Now, how do you become a positive person? Only by being positive. What I mean is by doing it. And the way you do it is to keep speaking it. Now, you see, we can have times in here where somebody gives you a passage of scripture, say, pray that over yourself, pray that over your brother, pray that over your sister, pray that over the church. And you can do that for 5 minutes. But what is going to make the difference is not doing that for 5 minutes, but whether you're doing it all day long. That actually, that's an exercise that we can do together, which is just, if you like, a foretaste of what we're going to do throughout the day, no matter where we are, when we're on our own, there's nobody else around, there's nobody else to minister to, but we are being positive, we are thinking positively, we're speaking positively, we're declaring the positive truth over ourselves, over the circumstances, over what it is that's about to take place, and we're not allowing any of the negatives to get in. See, fear is a negative. And you could be faced with some things that you're asked to do next week, and there could be an element of fear because, you know, you haven't done that kind of thing, or you don't know the people that you're going to be dealing with, all kinds of things like that. But actually, you are not going to listen to your fears. You're going to listen to your faith. Amen. And that's another thing, you see, the Lord taught me in this renewing of the mind thing. He said, you listen to your faith, not your fears. See, in the natural, you will have fears, but you don't listen to them. And the enemy will stir up those fears, but you don't listen to him. He can accuse you directly. Other people around you can accuse you, but you take the shield of faith. You can get discouraged if you listen to the negative. The negative is very discouraging, isn't it? But the truth is very encouraging. I mean, Jan yesterday, when the way she was leading the 8 o'clock, it was all good positive stuff. She just stood up here and was positive for a few minutes and everybody else got positive. Yes. But you see, the point is, your mood must not be dictated by your circumstances, but because of what you are doing. Yes. So you have Paul sitting in prison writing to the Philippians, saying, rejoice in the Lord always, and I say it again, rejoice. Yes. Why? Because his situation was not allowed to condition the way he thought. The way he thought, and therefore the way he spoke, or wrote in that case, but I mean he spoke it out, didn't he, because he dictated his letters. So that's because his handwriting was so bad. He spoke it out because he was a man of faith. And a man of faith is not determined by the circumstances, but by what is within him. Now, what is within you is the kingdom. What is within you is the Holy Spirit. What is within you is Christ. So since you've been here, and God has been pounding you with the truth day by day, week by week, he's been peeling layers of negativity away. See? Stuff that probably accumulated over the years And although you were born again, although you're a new creation, some of your thinking had not been renewed. You were still thinking as the person you used to be instead of thinking as the person that you are. So God just peels away all that rubbish. You are not who you were. So why talk about who you were? You're who you are. I mean, today, you're not even who you were yesterday. Because every day, He makes everything new. I mean, this is the wonderful thing about the new creation. You could have, you know, I had a day of great favor and blessing yesterday. But some days feel like a disaster. But what does God do? He gives you sleep and He peels yesterday away and it no longer exists. Whatever failure, whatever sin, whatever way you messed up yesterday, it's peeled away, no longer exists. You're a new creation today. Today's a new day. Come on, let's go and have a day of favor, a day of grace, a day of victory, a day of power. I mean, have you ever wondered why God invented sleep? It's so that some days can come to an end. And you're very pleased about that. Oh, thank God, today is over. Because some days it's a fight. You've had to take that shield of faith and you've had to take the sword of the Spirit and you've had to wield those weapons all day long.
Yeah.
But praise God.
Amen.
We have the victory.
Amen.
We have the victory because we have the victor. But you see, the victor is not just in heaven. The victor is within you.
Yes.
The kingdom is within you. Christ is within you. The Holy Spirit is within you.
Yes.
Within you means inside you.
Yes.
Not inside your head. But you see, what is in here, in the deepest part of your being, as Jesus said, in your belly, in your guts, literally. He said, from your guts will flow out rivers of living water. Why? Because it's not what you think in your head, but what you believe in your guts. You see, this is why when the attack comes to your head, all these thoughts, you've got to draw out of what is in your guts.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Be a gutty person, not a heady person. Because
yes.
In your guts, you've got the kingdom, you've got the Spirit, you've got Jesus. You've got the victory. You see, you don't wait for the victory. The victory is within you. Because the victor is within you. He is your victory. So I gather Pastor Clive was talking about the power of the tongue on Sunday. What you say, is that right? Something like that. The power of what you say, the power of words. Well, that's it. You speak the negative that comes from the enemy, that's death. You speak the life that comes from Christ in you, that's life.
Amen.
That's victory, that's power. So, what's the relationship between mercy and might? Well, mercy has been positive. Love is being positive. Increase is positive. Faith is positive. The exercise of authority in the name of Jesus is positive. The power is positive. Living in unity is positive. So how do you know what right thinking is and what wrong thinking is? Well, you only have to ask yourself, is that positive? If it's positive, you know where it's come from. If it's negative, it's come from the other one. Are we all breathing?
Yes.
Are we all living? So it's a little bit depressing when you realize this at first, because you realize how much time you spend listening to the negative. That's a bit upsetting. Oh, God. Oh, Lord. And he said, I know, but I've never left you. I never left you. I never left you. I never took the positive away. I just waited. See, I just waited for you to see it. One more thing. What blesses you when people around you are negative or encouraging? Well, do to others what you want them to do to you. Sometimes the Lord needed to bring correction. If you read the letters that the Spirit wrote to the seven churches in Asia Minor that we see recorded in Revelation 2 and 3, he wanted to bring correction at least to six of the seven. But do you notice he always encouraged them first? He always found the positive thing first, to build them up, to encourage them. Paul does the same when he's writing to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. I mean, that church was in a mess. If you think the church that you belong to is in a mess, there's nothing compared with the church in Corinth. I mean, the Corinthian church would even have got thrown out of the denominations today, and that's saying something. I mean, nobody would have wanted to touch them. So much mess, muddle, confusion, disorder, immorality. I mean, get out. Way off beam. But how does Paul address them at the beginning? To those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy, God has blessed you. You lack no spiritual gift. See, he's reminding them the positive. This is who you are. Then he gets to the issues and says, now, if that's who you are, what do you think you're doing by allowing this? By doing that? By all these party factions, divisions, and the Spirit does exactly the same, you see. Commends the churches in Asia Minor. Then he says, but I have this against you. But it's not done in an accusing way. Repent of those things. Then all those positive things will increase. Huh? Now, don't get discouraged. All of us go through periods of time when we get negative for one reason or another. We've allowed something in, we got negative. God doesn't condemn us, he just waits, he restores us, we get positive again, we flow with God, we have another season of tremendous fruitfulness. Why? What has happened is not just that we've been restored to the positive, but we've been pruned. Remember, the Father prunes the branches of the vine? But after they've been pruned, what happens? They become more fruitful still. Amen. Hallelujah! Amen. So you'll go through negative times sometimes. You'll go through, you know, it's times when you feel you're struggling and you're battling. But God will do a number on you. He'll do whatever he needs to do to deal with that negativity. And that's the pruning. And then, boy, you're going to see another season of great blessing. So even if sometimes, you know, you get discouraged by, oh, goodness me, there seems to be so much negativity, so many things that I've got to just take that shield of faith to. That's good. I mean, God is so pleased when we do that, because he knows we're going to overcome.
Amen.
And he knows that the result will be we will end up by being far more positive than we ever were before.
Amen.
Why? Because we learn. You see, it's only when you're bombarded by the negative that you learn that the only way to counteract that is to be positive.
Yeah.
You preempt the enemy. The more positive you are, the less you will allow the negative in.
Amen.
Are you there?
Yes, sir.
So that's why you keep speaking the truth over your life, over your circumstances, over, you know, even when you're praying in the morning. See, I had a great day yesterday, but I can tell you, I spoke positive things over the whole of my day in my prayer in the morning. I thank the Lord. Lord, I thank you. This is going to be good and that's going to be good. You're going to work there. You're going to move there. This is going to work out and that's going to work out. See? Positive mindset. You actually determine the context for the day. That's what God wants, see? Not for us to be passive. You see, the enemy loves passivity. He fills the passive mind. But when we are active, the shield of faith is in position. When we're active, we're positive. We're positively affirming the truth and speaking the truth over our lives, over our situations, over the circumstances. And as soon as you do that, a negative thought comes, you say, that's rubbish, out, get out.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to be polite, but in the name of Jesus, I reject that thought. No, you just say, get out, that's not from God. I mean, don't get all super spiritual about it. Just say, I reject that,
right.
Out of it, get out. That doesn't come from me and it hasn't come from the Lord. I'm not accepting that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. Isn't it good?
Yes.
So, what's the sum total of this? It's time to stop. No. What's the time? You believe yourself to be a positive person.
Amen.
Because who are you? Christ in you. That's your identity. The kingdom within you, the spirit within you. Jesus is positive, the kingdom is positive, the Holy Spirit is positive. You are a positive person. Do not listen to the devil accusing you of being a negative person. You are a positive person. Now you see, you can hear me say it, but you need to say it.
Yes.
Not because you hear me say it, but because that's the way you think.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And you don't think it just in the 8 o'clock, because somebody up the front is encouraging you to think it. Say, no, that's who I am. That's who I am. You see, there's a phase of faith where some of you are at present. There's a phase of faith when you respond to the external stimulus. So, I mean, if I just refer to what's happened the last few days, Pastor JD led a time where you prayed with expectation for the power of God to touch your life, so it happened. You get someone like Jan standing up yesterday affirming that, you know, everybody gets positive. That's responding to external stimulus. Your faith rises because somebody around you is speaking faith, encouraging you to act in faith. So the same thing is happening now. Except what I'm saying to you is God wants to take you beyond that to the next level of faith where you are not dependent upon external stimulus or stimuli. But it's there within you. And what is within you is being expressed. What is within you is coming out. What is within you determines what you say and what you do in your heart attitudes. So even when there's nobody to give you that external stimulus, yet still you believe, yet still you're positive, yet still you're affirming, yet still you're expecting the favor of God and the power of God. And even when things don't work out, because you're not conditioned by what's happening externally, you don't allow those things to undermine your confidence, but you rise above that, say, but I have the mercy of God and he forgives me for whatever failure there was in that, and I'm going ahead now in the favor of God, because from his fullness he gives me grace upon grace, favor upon favor. So you come to the conclusion, I cannot lose. I cannot be defeated. I cannot be overcome. Because Christ in me is the overcomer. Hallelujah. He is the victory. He is my victory. Come on, let's stand up. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Okay, no band, nobody leading, no external stimulus now. Just express your heart to the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now thank the Lord that the Holy Spirit sows wheat. Every day, all day long, he's sowing wheat. He's sowing good seed. Wheat produces fruit. Everything that the Lord sows will produce a harvest. It will produce a harvest of what is good. So come on, thank him.
Thank you, Lord.
And the Holy Spirit within you is guiding you into all the truth. The Holy Spirit within you is reminding you of the truth, of everything that Jesus has said, everything that he's done. Hallelujah. So you live in the good of the truth. The truth that sets you free, the truth that enables you to maintain that freedom. He has called you to be free, not just to be set free. Hallelujah. Thank him that you are one of the Lord's successes. That he never gives birth to a failure. Thank him that you're not a failure. You're a success. Hallelujah. And you're going to see godly success. You're going to see godly success for the rest of your life. Because he's making you a faith person. Come on, you're expecting success. You're expecting fruitfulness. Because of what he's sown in your life. What he's sown in your heart, what he's sown in your mind. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
Now come on, kick out all those negative things. Don't feel sorry for yourself. Don't just say, oh God, forgive me, I've been so negative. Just kick all the negative out. Come on, kick it all out. It's not part of me. It doesn't belong to me. I take the shield of faith against all those accusations, against all those lies. The devil is the father of lies. I'm not listening to any accusation. I'm not listening to any lies. I'm not listening to any of his deception. I'm holding fast to the truth. Hallelujah. 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 That shield of faith quenches all the fiery darts of the evil one. Now, thank the Lord not for what you were yesterday, but for what you are today. Say, thank you, Lord. I am a positive person. I have your positive kingdom within me. I have Christ within me. I have your spirit within me. I am a positive person. I am a positive person. I am filled with the positive. I'm not filled with the negative. I'm filled with the positive. Purala bazata parazata bakarasita ba. Bazandari elero bakarasita risatuba. Baparazata parazata barazita ba. That's an end to my negative thinking. That's an end to actually receiving those negative lies and accusations. No more. They're out. They're gone. They're away. They are not part of me. They're not the truth about me. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Poparazata parazata bakarazita. Oh, now thank the Lord that you've been washed with the blood. And when you were washed with the blood, every negative was destroyed. Oh, come on, just know that blood's washing all over you. It's washing all through you. Every negative is being destroyed. Hallelujah. You know, even that sickness, that's a negative. It's destroyed. It's destroyed. It's destroyed by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Come on, what's the word of your testimony now? What's the word of your testimony concerning your life? What's the word of your testimony concerning who you are? What's your word of testimony about the kind of person that you are? Oh, I am a merciful person. I'm a loving person. I'm a generous, gracious person. I'm a person of faith. I'm a person of authority. I'm a person of power. I'm a person who lives in unity with others. Hallelujah. I'm a kingdom person. Christ is my righteousness. Christ is my holiness. Christ is my peace. Christ is my joy. Poparazata parazata parazitoba. Paralala bazatari alero bakarazita risatari alero bakarazitoba. Horala mazanda barazitoba. Now, one of the things the devil will accuse after a session like this is you're not being real. That is a lie. What we are talking about this morning is the reality. You see, truth is the reality. Truth is the reality. And when you believe the truth, when you speak the truth, when you confess the truth, when you walk in the truth, that is what is real. Amen. The other stuff is false. And you're not living in what is false, you're living in what is real. So come on, let's just lift our hands to the Lord. Thank the Lord, praise the Lord that we're living in the truth, we're walking in the truth. The truth is living in us in the power of the Spirit. Balandari alero bakara sitri satari alero bakara sitri sanduma. Balandaria lero bakara sitri sataria lero bakara sitri sataria lero bakara sitri sandama. Bazandaria lero bakara sitri sataria lero bakara sitri sandama. Bazandaria lero bakara sitri sataria lero bakara sitri sandama. Bazandaria lero bakara sitri sataria. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Poparazata parazata parazatuba. Now, we've turned a page. Yesterday is gone. What you were yesterday is gone. It's who you are. But what the Lord is showing me is, as we've turned the page this morning, so now we're beginning a new chapter. And this new chapter is entitled The Positive Believer. It's a chapter about you. Come on, just thank Him. You're the positive believer. You're the positive believer. You're the positive believer. Come on, you're naturally super. You live above the natural. You live in the supernatural reality and truth of Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Now, because we live in the positive, we can rule and reign. You can't rule and reign in the negative. Right. Now, we're ruling and reigning over our circumstances. If you have any negative circumstances in any part, any area of your life, anything that you have to face, just speak positively now. Speak the positive truth over those circumstances. Don't just pray about them. Speak the positive truth over them. Decree, rule, reign over those negative things. So the negative cannot persist. But the negative has to give way to the positive. The problem has to give way to the answer. The sickness has to give way to the power of God. Whatever the situation, the debt has to give way to the provision. Come on, you've got to speak it out and... And when you speak it out, you give thanks because you see the answer. So you give thanks to God for the answer. Potapara zatapari elero bakara sitri satuba. Bazandari elero bakara sitri satari elero bakara sitri sanduma. Bazandari elero bakara sitri satuba. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Hallelujah. Bazandari alero bakara sitri satari alero bakara sitapa. Bazandari alero bakara sitri satari alero bakara sitapa. The word of God says, behold, I make all things new. All things. That's all those situations, all those circumstances. I make them all new. Is there any faith in the room?
Yes.
Are you thanking God for that? He's making all those situations new. The power of God, the power of God is getting released into those situations. Lord, you are holy. You are merciful and mighty. And we thank you that as we go forward as a merciful people, so we shall see your might and power.
as we go forward in your grace, in your favor, seeing your principle of increase in our lives, as we speak with faith and with the authority that you've given us, so we shall see your power be released. And as we go out together in unity, so you will command the blessing. And we give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.